I know Mother's Day is bittersweet for some of us. Sometimes it's just a wonderful time of celebration, and I really, really appreciate that. For others who maybe are estranged from their mothers or didn't have great childhoods or maybe couldn't have kids or whatever it is, it may be a little difficult. But can I just say, let's just celebrate the creation of mother, the creation of the role of mother, and how blessed we are to have that. I always think about Jesus having to submit to Mary, perfect Jesus having to submit to Mary, and the beautiful dynamic that represents for us today. Well, we are going through a section of scripture, 1 Peter, and we are going through it. And in this part, we're going to be talking about an incredibly difficult section of scripture. The last 2 weeks, I think maybe some of the most controversial sections of the Bible in our modern times, specifically in the Bay Area. And so before we get into it, I want to just set the context. Peter has been reminding us that since we are free in Christ, been set free from sin, we are to be servants of God. And I love that because we're not set free to sin. We're set free to obey. And so Peter is talking to all these Christians who are scattered throughout modern day Turkey. And these Christians there, they don't fit in. And because they don't fit in, he's giving them words of encouragement on how to live in that context. So he talks about, hey, you've been freed from sin, praise God, be freed from sin to serve me or be a slave to me. Slave just means servant in the biblical context. So he talks about submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human authority. Christians have to be law-abiding citizens. Obviously not if it causes you to sin, but one of the ways that we testify to the goodness of God is through our submission to the local, state, federal governments, police department, the president, all those things. So Peter has talked about that. He even talks about how we as employees should submit to employers. Think of the testimony that a really lousy employee has on the life of the boss. You have an employee who doesn't show up on time, who is lazy, and that employee says to the boss, hey, I'm a Christian, come with me to church. It's like, wait a minute, something's off, right? So he talks about submitting to your masters, or the best context we have from that is your employees. And I love that he says, not only the good ones, but the bad ones. I've had some pretty gnarly bosses in the past, pretty bad bosses. And it's so interesting how submitting to a bad boss feels more worshipful than submitting to a good boss. And then he talks about submitting because you are conscious of God, submit because of the fear and reverence that you have for God. These things are so important, such a big deal. And so today we're continuing in this section on submission at home, in the home life. For those who aren't married, I just want to give you some encouragement. This stuff applies to you just as much as to the married folk, because everything that I'm going to be teaching you today from the Word is stuff that you should do anyways. It's just not in the context of marriage, okay? So, don't tune out if you're engaged or dating or widowed, not even thinking about marriage. The invitation's the same. Let God form you in you, a spirit that's rooted in Him. Not control, not fear, not an outward validation, but a quiet trust and steady obedience. Last week was wives in the same way, submit yourself to your husband. And then he goes on to talk about how that submission will look. And it's an incredible section of scripture because you juxtapose the wife of noble character in Proverbs 31 That woman is not a pushover, is not a floor mat. That woman is an industrious, godly, powerful woman of character and gifting. And yet she also submits to her husband. And that's not a pass, that's not a letting him rule over you. That is a partnering with him in achieving his goals. And so this week we get into this one, which is husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partners and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Husbands. Husbands. He's talking to husbands. I'm going to tell you the same thing that I told the wives. Something my uncle said when I thought that I was being really clever in talking to him about my wife needs to submit. Now, this is a long time ago. The Bible says Mary should submit. And he said, who's that verse written to? And I said, it's wives. And he goes, are you a wife? I said, no. And he goes, that's not for you to focus on. You focus on the husbands, right? So, wives, if you're here, I used to have a pastor friend of mine who used to say, when he'd teach on these types of things, he used to say, women, I don't want to see any elbows in the pews. I don't want to see this. You know, as you try to get your husband to pay attention, right? Wives, you have your own difficulties. Men, you have yours. And so I'm talking to specifically husbands, but generally to all of us. You'll see how it all applies. Right? In the same way, husbands in the same way. You know, it says that to the wives also. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves. This says, husbands, in the same way. What way? As you live in fear and reverence for God and his plan, it's better than yours. As you walk in a consciousness of God, because you have been freed from sin and are a slave to God, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. What's that mean, considerate? It means to be thoughtful. Know your wife. Know her faith. Know her health. Her strengths and weaknesses. Know her family of origin and how that affects her life. Know her likes and her dislikes, her cares and concerns, her passions and her fears. Know what encourages her and discourages her. Husband, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. Be empathetic and sensitive and attentive. Now, sometimes, as husbands, we think we know our wives, so we don't have to keep learning them anymore. Well, as we change and grow in the faith, so do they. So the wife you have today may be different than the wife you had 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago. So this goes for wives, too. You should know your husbands also. Okay? But get to know your wife. Observe what's going on in her life. And consider what this means. Talk with her about it. This is so massive, guys. Talk with your wives about these things. Another way to say it is be curious, but without an agenda. Sometimes guys just want to get in and fix it. I see that you did this, and you were like this, and that's because this. I've considered this. You need to do this. That's not what this is talking about. Be considerate as you live with your wife. That means taking the information you have about your wife and let that information flavor and apply your servant leadership towards her. That's what this is talking about. And husbands, I just want to say, in a lot of marriages, there is it's a difficult marriage. And so we have to make sure that we don't do this through eyes of bitterness. Make sure that we don't do this through the eyes of unmet needs. We want to learn about our wives what God loves about her so much. Because remember, your wife is a masterpiece. And husbands, never forget that. Wives, your husband is a masterpiece. Christians, you are a masterpiece in God. Handmade.
by God.
We are all like that. Another way that I've always thought about it is, husbands, you get to be the subject matter experts of your wives. You see them through the eyes of God as Christ did. You're considerate about them. You be considerate as you live with your wives. Now, this is important. If you take out "as you live with your wives," you just say "be considerate," the emphasis changes. It sounds more like a one-time thing. "As you live with your wives" means that men, husbands, cannot do what comes very natural for us when we're struggling, when we're feeling our needs are unmet, when we're feeling cornered, when we're feeling depressed, when we're feeling angry. You know what that is? Men disengage. If you read that book, "Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus," it's that same thing. Generally, men disengage. We isolate when we are feeling tested or tried or not edified. We distance ourselves. I was so blessed to have my son a couple years ago, point that out to me, that I was doing that. I didn't know that I was doing that. I wasn't conscious of that. But we can't isolate. We have to risk love because we have to be considerate. If you're isolated, you won't be able to consider. Be considerate as you live with your wife. Godly husband doesn't assume his wife. He's living with her, walking with her, talking with her, loving her. And that fear or that protective nature of ourselves that comes in us as men that forces us to isolate, we have to say no to that. Why? Because we're freed from that. We're freed from that. To obey God and being considerate with our wives. Husbands, I want to tell you that your wife is so important in the kingdom of God that she should be treated with respect. Husbands, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect. Respect is something of great worth, honor, and the role that wife is. It's created by God. The woman has been created to complement and complete the man. Genesis 2:18, the Lord said, "It's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Women, please smile in the fact that you are the solution to the first problem on earth. Adam was lonely. He couldn't do his job. He couldn't do it. He couldn't do it without her. So she was made to come in and complete and complement him. Remember, in the image of God, man has been made. Male and female creates the image of God. That's what the scripture says. And it's hard. There's a reason why 50% of marriages end in divorce. There's a reason why a lot of people don't even want to get married. There's a reason why, even in the Christian church, that number is very, very high. The reason is because marriage is meant to be hard. Yes, it's a comfort, but sin complicates it. But God uses that sin. Remember the song we just sang? God uses all things to grow all people. It's supposed to be hard. Man, you might be thinking, "I don't know how I'm going to do this again." You might be thinking, "I've tried this. It doesn't work." You might be thinking, "I'm just sick of getting hurt." You might be thinking, "I don't know how I'm going to do anything else other than I've always do, which is to hide and to not engage." But remember, it's supposed to bring you to the end of yourselves. Paul David Tripp, one of my favorite counselors, says this. It's, "Only when you look at your spouse," and this applies for wives towards husbands too, "it's only when you look at your spouse and see the glory of God's creative artistry that you will treat them with dignity and respect that a healthy marriage requires." this process has been made by God. Male, female, put together. Sin separated. Through Christ, we try to get back together as best as we can, and it's hard and it's difficult, but we don't give up. Husbands, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect. Husbands need to remember that, and these all apply to everybody, but there are lots of ways that we can disrespect our wife. We can speak with harshness instead of gentleness. My wife has to remind me, who was it? It wasn't Mary, it was someone reminded me of what happens like when a man screams or shouts or is angry or rants. Now, maybe they would just say it to me because I'm kind of large, but there is such power in words. To be harsh is to disrespect your wife. Now, what if she's a terrible wife? Well, I guarantee you she's not perfect. But even if she's the worst wife on earth, the role of wife is still to be respected. Just like if you have a pastor who's not great, the role of pastor is still to be expected. Just like if you have a boss who's terrible, the role of boss is to be respected. Just like if you run into a terrible cop, the role of cop is to be respected and shown honor. Just like if you don't like the president, the role of president is to be honored. This is so important to understand. Even if she's not a Christian, the role of wife is to be honored. And therefore, the wife is to be treated with respect. We don't withhold tenderness and kindness and patience because that is disrespectful to the needs God has created her to have. We don't lead with pride and arrogance. We lead with Christ-like humility. We don't focus on making sure she's meeting my needs because that is the opposite of what Jesus did. We don't withhold forgiveness or reconciliation. Because Christ didn't do that for us, why should we do that with our wife? Treat your wives with respect. Now, how? Now, that's a very general thing, so there's lots of different ways to do that. But the question becomes specifically in this context, how? Husbands, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner. Let me tell you what this doesn't mean. This doesn't mean that she is, like, spiritually weak. It's nothing to do with that. Some of your wives, men, are more spiritually mature than you. And you know what? Praise God. What a blessing that is. Some women are emotionally or relationally more advanced than their husbands. This has nothing to do with a spiritual weakness or an emotional weakness. Or men are better than women. Men are above. Remember the Proverbs 31 wife is not a pushover. She is a godly example of a strong and powerful woman. What does it mean? First, it means that they are physically weaker in the context that men are bigger usually and women are smaller usually. This is an act, this is a call for protection. The genders are different. It's just a fact, right? Men, we are supposed to protect our wives. Does that mean a woman can't protect her husband? No, but we're on the hook for it. We need to provide protection for her physically. We need to look out for her well-being. We need to protect her. You know who's the hardest person to protect your wife from? Yourself. Oh, that's what it hurts. I'm reading this book right now that's the point of the book. Sometimes the person who hurts your wife the most is you. That's what happens when you live together, right? We protect them. Another way to think about it is we advocate for them. Remember, in the context that this is written, in the world back then, women had a lot less value and a lot less protection under the culture and the law. So men are to advocate for their wives. For their time and their talent and their treasure, for their value, for their reputations. They protect their reputations. way that helps me most thinking about this is we view them as if they were weaker. If you had a Bentley, you guys know what a Bentley is? It's a really expensive, big, beautiful car, right? If you had a Bentley, someone gave it to you, cost $3 trillion, coolest car ever out there. You gonna be rough with that Bentley? No, you're gonna be tender with it. You're gonna be delicate with it. You're gonna make sure it doesn't get scratched. You're gonna park it far away from everybody else. You're gonna be gentle with this nice car. You're gonna keep it polished and keep it nice. Is that because it has less value? No, it's because it has more value. Treating your wife as a weaker vessel is to realize that she is like that car. She's important. She's valuable. Even if you don't like her, even if you're worried about things to come, even if she's hurt you so bad, it doesn't change the fact that she's a Bentley or a Lamborghini or a Bugatti or whatever your favorite kind of car is. She is that individual for you. You treat her with respect. With the respect of her worth. She's worth far more than a million of all of the most expensive cars in the world. So you treat her that way accordingly. Why? Because the wife's role and her value is determined by God, not by us, and frankly, not even by her. We're tender-hearted with our wives. And remember, for all of us here, that applies to our relationships with anybody, because everybody has good value. I love Matthew 12:20. It says, a bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not snuff out till he has brought justice through to victory. Treat it like it's a bruised reed, like it's easy to fall, like it's delicate. It doesn't mean it's not. Bentley is just as strong as any other car, if not stronger. But you treat it with respect because of what it's worth. So, husbands, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as one, the weaker partner, something of great value, and two, as heirs with you, the gracious gift of life. Anytime anybody has ever said that the weaker vessel means that men are better than women, they didn't continue the rest of the scripture. Never put a period where God puts a comma. Your wife is your equal. She's just as good as you are. Her value is the same as yours. She has all the same standings before God. She's justified and declared righteous through Christ. There's no condemnation for her as there is for those who are not in Christ. She's been adopted into the children of God. She is your sister in Christ. She is chosen and loved by God. She's indwelt with the same Holy Spirit that you are. Husband, you're not better than her. You are simply put there to be considerate, to love her, and to lead her. Here's another way of looking at it. I might have mentioned this to you before. I just love it. In the military, there's a saying on being on point. You have a platoon of people. I don't know how much a platoon is, 12, 20, whatever. And they're walking through a jungle. And they're looking for the bad guy. And they have their guns. There's always someone who's at the front. They're on point. They have the best eyes to see everything. They don't have to be the best person in the troop. They just have to be one of the troop. They're like the team captain. They are ahead of everybody else. First in line during movements through uncertain, hostile environments. The world is not a safe place. So we're on point. The person on point is most exposed to unseen threats like ambushes or traps. Responsible for awareness and observation and route selection. A key protector of the unit by identifying danger early. It's not about support, superiority and rank. It's about responsibility. Men, as you walk through this life, You're looking after your family, specifically in this context, your wife. You're on point. If your wife is going to get punched, you step in the way. That's the role that God has given men. It doesn't matter if we agree with it or not. Wives, it doesn't matter if you agree with it or not. This is the role that God has assigned to us. You are on point as in position because you're not better than her. She's an heir of the gracious gift of life. Husbands, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. Listen, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Isn't that interesting? There is a cause and effect between how a man treats his wife and how God blesses him. Isn't that interesting? There's a direct correlation. In other words, you cannot claim to be rightly aligned and in the will of God while being wrongly aligned with your wife. The vertical relationship with God is tied to your horizontal relationship with your wife. That's true with everybody, right? How you treat others is how you understand God. Men, if you're in a place right now where you feel like God is not answering your prayers, and maybe there's things in marriage you know you should do different, or maybe it's just too hard, you need to ask the question. Is the reason you've been stunted in spiritual growth because of how you treat your wife? You've got to ask that question because these two things are together. That doesn't mean that God becomes unwilling to hear a repentant husband. But it does mean that an unrepentant husband is going to be robbed of blessings in their marriage from God. So husbands, I'll tell you this. How you treat your wife is not merely a private matter. It's a spiritual responsibility. Loving and honoring and understanding your wife is part of walking faithfully with God Himself. Husbands, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life so that nothing hinders your prayers. Today, husbands, this is an invitation. It's an invitation to something better. Something better than the world's view of marriage. Something better than the world's view of husband. Something better than the world and Satan in the flesh whisper in your ear that would make you isolate, that would make you remove yourself, that would make you stop being a godly, servant-led influence in the lives of your wives. Godly husbands are supposed to know their wives well, to honor their wives, and to remember that they don't do that leadership role from a position of, I'm better than her, but from a position of being on point. The role and the calling of wife is precious. Your wife has been handmade by God to shape you in Christ's likeness, as hard and as difficult as that is. So we handle this relationship with care. We're attentive, thoughtful, and gentle. Not assuming, not ignoring, not dismissing, but living with understanding. Why? Because I can't afford to have God not hear my prayers. If God wasn't on my side, all of my enemies would have trampled me alive. I can't. I can't afford to live a life of distance from God because I'm confused or selfish or angry or heartbroken over my wife. There's something better that I've been called to reach for. Something better requires walking on love, walking by faith, It's only by faith, men, that you're going to be able to accept the gift of abundant life that Christ came to give you. And that will come as you honor your wives. Now, I just want to take a second and talk to you about the handout that I gave you. This might be really, really hard for some of you. Or maybe you know someone whose marriage is just a disaster. There's some future resources I want to give you to talk about. Marriage in general. Now, women, no elbows. Okay, these are things that you should either together do, or if you guys don't want to read these together, that's okay. I don't know if that's okay or not, but if that's the reality, then read it on your own. Marriage in general. This first one is my favorite book on the topic. What Did You Expect? I love that. Redeeming the Realities of Marriage by Paul David Tripp. The next one is Sacred Marriage. What If God Designed Marriage to Make Us Holy More Than to Make Us Happy? Another one that I thought was solid is called The Love Dare, a 40-day challenge for husbands and wives to understand and practice unconditional love. For husbands, just for husbands or men, The Power of a Praying Husband by Stormy is incredible. I've been praying through that book for 15 years. It's a book that you can read through and learn, but then also every section has a prayer at the end that I pray. I put a little check mark every time I pray for my wife. There's like 13 check marks. You know, and it's going to keep going. It's going to keep going. Power of a Praying Husband. Another one, Tender Warrior. Every Man's Purpose, Every Woman's Dream, Every Child's Hope by Stu Weber. The one that I'm reading these days is called The Men We Need, God's Purpose for the Manly Man, the Avid Indoorsman, or Any Man Willing to Show Up. This isn't just for men who like to shoot guns and hunt. This is for all men, all of us. Wives, The Power of a Praying Wife by Stormy is a good one. The Excellent Life, A Biblical Perspective by Martha Peace is a really good one too. And Let Me Be a Woman. These are notes to my daughter on the meaning of womanhood by Elizabeth Elliot. Counseling. Here's some good counseling resources. And then if you need a marriage retreat, there's some more resources there. Okay? Remember, we are foreigners and strangers in this land called the United States of America, specifically in the Bay Area. And the patterns of this world, the algorithm of our culture, is meant to keep you dysfunctional in your marriage. Is meant to hijack God's plan for your marriage, His perfect plan. Don't give Him the pleasure. Seek God first. Embrace the roles that the Lord has called you to. And experience that life of abundance that Christ came to give us. Amen? All right, my friends. God bless you. Have a wonderful day, and I will see you next time. Take care.